Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and may thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Pray for the Mishpachah spread throughout the four corners of the earth, that they'll keep the faith and their faith will increase. Heal us from our land and from our sickness, and may we return back unto you. Give us vengeance over our enemies, Father, those that despitefully use us, stretch injustice towards us, as we know vengeance is yours. May our eyes stay on you and the word, and ourselves in the capacity of keeping these laws. We thank you that Satan's defeated, and no weapon formed against us can prosper, and greater is that that's in us than anything in the world. We give you all honor, and we give you all praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brought to you by the Black Cultural Restoration Association, restoring the original Hebrew man, one asleep mind at a time. Yes, there's an awakening, and there's a snatching of the term awakening from everybody, because we see that there's been a paradigm shift of our consciousness and understanding of what's really happening all around us, and we got these Khazars scurrying to try and bring this to an end their way with their order, but nah. The only new world order that's coming is New Jerusalem. Hallelujah. And as we watch these things unfold, we are not surprised, because we believe in the Messiah who prophesied the order that these things would happen. So the thing is, you have to have faith, stay in these holy scripts, keep these holy commands, and don't let people deceive you. And the only way that you're really going to be able to not be deceived is to have the Ruach HaKadosh. I would do anything and everything I can to make sure the Spirit is in me and stays in me, like David prayed. Cast me not away from your presence. Renew a right spirit within me. Restore the joy of my salvation. Take not thy Holy Spirit away from me. Praying a prayer of repentance daily, because all have sinned and fallen short. And we have a hard enough time dealing with these frequencies, casting down imaginations, because all these thoughts that you're getting are not your thoughts. They're thoughts of from demons and devils and enemies trying to tempt you. This all started back in Jubilee's 10th chapter, when Noah prayed to the Father to protect his sons after the flood, because sickness and afflictions were coming upon them from the attacks of the demons. And a lot of the demons were put away, but they asked the Most High, can a portion of them remain to try man? And that's exactly what's happening in this time that we live in. But I pray that you get to a point where you know that you're not going to be moved or shaken. Brothers and sisters, I have been knocked down, beat up, dragged down, tried and true. But for me to walk away and not believe Yah is something that's not going to ever happen, because he's been a part of my life. And I know you've known him. And it is my prayer that if you don't know him, you come to know him and the manifestation of his power and glory and the fact that he's a miracle worker. So I'm not going to be on for long. We're going to talk a little bit about, of course, we know what's going on, but we're not going to glorify that, magnify that, because this is the Shabbat. And on the Shabbat, he told us, come together, fellowship, exhort one another, encourage one another as we see the day approaching. So sure enough, that day is approaching. So today I'm going to be brief talking about how Yah has got us covered. If you keep the commandments, we're hearing all kind of stories of what is potentially going to happen to us in the midst of this tribulation and what these Khazars are going to do to us, like what they're doing to the Palestinians, and how they're going to come against the black people who are the Israelites, and how all these races and nations are understanding our hidden books because they're reading them now, and they're trying to infuse themselves into the prophecy. I heard the funniest thing just the other day, where a guy who is a Caucasian, and he said, "I'm a Caucasian." He said, "But I'm not an Amalekite, and I don't know if these Israelis can be saved." He said, "I don't know what to tell you." He's telling him like he's the authority, because he said the 10 tribes are the Celtics, Scottish, and, you know, everything that's Eurocentric, but still at the same time was able to connect the fact that Esau produced Edom, and Edom produced Idumea, and Idumeans produced Amalekites, which are the Khazars and the converts, but he separated himself from that. And I couldn't understand that, but I didn't hear nothing about the true indigenous people that are spoken of throughout their history book, our history book, that lets you know that the Most High is a man of melanated color. Our Savior is a melanated man, Revelation's the first chapter. And I don't have time to give you all the scriptures in the book of Job, the book of Amos, and the book of Jeremiah, Songs of Solomon, that tell you our color was black from the ground. That's why we came from the dirt. But I didn't, you know, people hear me talk like this and say I'm making it about race. Well, race is all in the Bible. It's called nations. And he's going to separate the nations. And he chose a nation. So it's going to come down to that. Well, our souls and spirits don't have colors. That's not true. In the book of Ezekiel, it tells you that the souls of these certain blacks and color of skin is associated. There's verses and scriptures that associate the soul and the spirit with a particular hue. And you will not play the word game with the satanic English language of saying we're all humans with different hues. That is ludicrous. Never heard such tomfoolery. The thing that makes me livid about the infusing and incorporating oneself because they want to disassociate themselves from the torture that they put upon us in this final captivity in the name of slavery. The thing is that nobody wants to take accountability for them having slave artifacts right upstairs in the attic of their grandparents' house, going through the attic and finding old relics, body parts, auction notices, chains, ropes, and you try to disassociate yourself. I'm going to see how you do that. And then suddenly you want to go to 23andMe or Ancestry.com and say, look, see, I have 2% Ghanaian in me. Don't play with me, because I don't play with that stuff, because that was designed to tell you and throw you off when we don't need a company owned by Khazars to tell us what our background is. We know the truth. So at the end of the day, where everybody's trying to get us to all come together, but they won't come together, you tell them that you're about to pay our people reparations, and you'll see who they really are. And I got a trick for you. Next time these people start saying they're the people too, say this on the side. How do you like your steaks cooked? And you already know what the answer is going to be. That bloodlust is off the chain in these other nations. I'll have mine rare, please. Just break the conversation, because we don't need to be debating with them. It's stupid for us to have debates and try to prove to them and show them these scriptures. It's all going to come out in the wash. So make fun, make light of stuff like that. Just make light of it, because you don't need to be arguing with these people. You know who you are. We know who came out of Egypt. Egypt was black. Ethiopians were black. Egypt and Ethiopia were cousins. Israelites went to hide themselves. Our Savior, Joseph and Mary, took our Savior to Egypt to hide while King Herod put out a mandate to kill all the firstborn children. Moses blended in. Moses blended in so much he lived in the house of Pharaoh and was raised to be a Pharaoh. Come on, man. This stuff is like, don't waste your time arguing with these people, because of their father Satan, they're going to be liars. They lie. And you need to know that. You don't get caught up in trying to disprove a liar No, you don't waste your time with that. So this is getting funny as we draw close to the time, because the seriousness of the judgments that's coming upon these other nations and how they, Psalms 83, were in covenant against us is scaring the hell out of them. And so now they want to infuse themselves and all be grafted in. There'll be a remnant, but Amos 9 and 14, 12 through 14 tells us what is going to happen with the very few remnant of them that get to go into the millennial reign. There were two different nations inside the belly of Jacob's wife, two different races. Don't ever forget that. I don't want you to be afraid, and I don't want you listening to the news, because they got a lot of things planned, but no weapon formed against us can prosper. And greater is that that's in us than anything in the world. So let's go ahead and get into it, because I'm not trying to go past an hour today. Let's go to 2 Kings. We're going to go to 2 Kings first, then we'll go to the book of Jeremiah, and then we're going to read some scriptures on the fact of some of the benefits of keeping the commandments. I'm going to get all that in, because there's protection in keeping the commandments. So let's go to 2 Kings, 17th chapter, 32nd verse. And Second Kings 17:32. So they feared the Most High and made unto themselves of the lowest of them priests of the high places, which sacrificed for them in the houses of the high place. They feared the Most High, but they served their own gods. That's what's happening with the times that we're living in now. They've got their churches. They've got their Vatican. They've got their Pope, their priest. They fear him, but they're still serving fallen angels. Nephilim. Did you know that Nephilim in the Hebrew is Nephilim, and Israelis call it Nephilim, which means fallen away? Fallen angels. That's who they serve. These other nations serve fallen deities and other gods. It's because of the jealousy they have for the fact that we are the people made in the image of our God, who's the one true God, the only Hashem, creator, Alua, the only one. He is the creator of everything. And they despise and will always despise the fact that he has a chosen nation. And that Esau he hated from birth, and Esau and his descendants. And I just named off the descendants, Esau, Edom, Idumea, Khazarians, Amalekites, all descendants. And he's hated them from birth. I digress. I didn't want to start from the beginning of 2 Kings to let you know this was dealing with Syria and with their kings. But this is, you know, we knew we were in Syrian captivity. And we escaped from Syrian captivity and came over to Osirith and discovered the Americas and South America. We see that in history. All you have to do is go to 2 Esdras, the 13th chapter, and read from about the 37th verse all the way down. And you'll see when the Northern Kingdom made their pilgrimage in a year's time to discover other lands where they could go and keep the commandments of the Most High. But let's go back to 2 Kings 17:33. They feared Hashem and served their own God. So they fear our God. They know he's coming back with recompense after the manner of the nations, the races whom they carried away from thence. Verse 34, unto this day, they do after the former manners. They fear not the Most High, neither do they after their statutes or after their ordinances, after the law and commandments, which the Most High commanded the children of Jacob, whom he named Yasharah. He gave him to Israel, Yasharah, with whom the Most High had made a covenant. With who? Jacob. With who? Israel, Yasharah. Whom who? The Most High, Hashem, Eluah, had made a covenant. Who's the covenant with? Us. And he charged them, us, saying, you shall not fear other gods. We don't fear Hashatan, fallen angels, Buddha, Hindu, the false god of Christianity, the blue-eyed white Jesus who they call a god. Nor do we bow ourselves to them. nor do we serve them, nor sacrifice to them. But the Most High Yah, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt, Haya, with great power and a stretched out arm, him shall you fear, and him shall you worship, and him shall you do sacrifice. And the statutes and the ordinances and the law and the commandment which he wrote for you, you shall observe to do forevermore. It never came to an end. He never told anybody to preach something so holy, sanctified from the Most High. Most High don't play with himself like that, start something and then stop it and say, nah, you don't have to do this no more. It was never his intent. It was us as a people who broke it. He said, look, I'm going to do this again, and we're going to go into a new covenant. And that has not been fulfilled yet, because all has not been fulfilled. He said, not one jot or tittle shall pass until all has been fulfilled. When Yeshua died, he only fulfilled a portion of what the prophets talked about. And I'm tired of you other nations constantly calling them minor prophets, trying to disassociate them with the authority that they bring forth. These so-called Caucasian scholars talking about minor prophets. You show me minor in the book. That minor about Obadiah, but I digress. Let me go back again, because this is powerful. One thing you need to learn how to do is read slower and allow the Holy Spirit to interpret and cause you to see every word. Because of course we know about translations and changes and different things, but if you have the Ruach, it will translate and reveal things for you. You don't have to get caught up into the Targums, the Septuagint, the KJV, the Tyndale, and this changed it. Don't get caught up into that. Get caught up into the Ruach revealing things to you and giving you clarity. When you slow down and read, you'll get it. Let me go back to 37. It said, the statutes and the ordinances and the law and the commandment which he wrote for you, you shall observe to do forevermore. And who was that again? He did that for Israel. The other nations that held us captive know about these commandments and laws, which is why they worked so hard to get true Israel to keep breaking the laws and commandments through eating the pork, worshiping on their day, changing the holy days, changing our times, getting rid of Leviticus 23 and introducing Christmas, Easter, Thanksgiving, New Year, fake New Year's in the middle of winter to get you to honor their holidays and break your holy days, and then keep you at a frequency that's a low vibration with hip hop, which is not our culture. Be glad when this 50 years of hip hop is over, because that is something we do, just like basketball, but it's not our culture, because you need to find out who you are as a people. I digress. Verse 38, and the covenant that I made with you, you shall not forget, neither shall you fear other gods. So stop being afraid of what these countries are doing who worship these fallen angels and other gods. I don't care about their world wars. Their ultimate aim is Psalms 83, to keep us from coming into prominence again and crushing them through the power of the living Yah, Haya, and his son, Yeshua HaMashiach. Hallelujah. So this is what ultimately is going to transpire. Verse 39, but the Most High, your Yah, you shall fear, and he shall deliver you out of the hand of all your enemies. Who's your enemy? The heathen, the Gentile, the wicked, the lawless. Know your enemy. Your enemy are these people that worship these other fallen deities, who say you're not the people, don't want you to be the people, hate your skin. Don't tell me it's a skin doctrine. I don't really give a damn what you say. And I said that because, see, you try to use that to pigeonhole me and then dismiss me by saying, oh, ain't skin down. Yeah, there is something different about my skin as compared to yours. And he made that clear when there was Jacob and Esau, and it's clearly described. I don't care how many times translations tried to make it unclear and ambiguous. it's clearly described that there's a visual perception that's totally different from one another, and that when Miriam caught leprosy, her hands were white as snow. We know what it is when it says a skin that shows blood. That's a certain type of people who turn red, who show that blood. I'm sorry, because I get a little upset at what I'm seeing right now, that they are boasting against the natural branches now at an all-time high. And I'm not having it, and neither is the Most High. So these other nations didn't even hearken. You know, the majority of these people who are boasting against us that are not us and are saying they're us now, they didn't listen to the commandments. They were Christians. And now they're trying to segue over into Hebrew Roots movement and go to Straightway and jump up and down and say, yeah, we're in it too. And then our people sitting up here tell them, yeah, you Israelite. No, I don't care if you start keeping these commandments. You're going to come in as a servant, according to Amos, the 9th chapter. But you are not an Israelite. You will forever be a converted Gentile. That's the problem with the whole world today, is a bunch of converts. The Amalekites are trying to destroy the world and dominate the world because they're the synagogue of Satan. Revelations 2 and 9, Revelations 3 and 9. Let me finish this. Howbeit, they did not hearken, but they did after their former manners. Even when they found out in 2 Kings about the Most High, they were like, okay, well, we'll set up temples to worship him too. We're going to keep our gods, and what we're going to do is merge all this. This has been going on since Constantine, the merging. We want the this and that, and there's no merging. There's no merging. There will be a separation of the nations in different borders, areas, and regions. The whole problem is that it was given to originally to Ham, Shem, and Japheth, three people. And these people are fighting over our lands and splitting our lands. This is ridiculous. So these other nations feared the Most High and served graven images. But their children and their children's children, as did their fathers, so do they unto this day. That's why you see them trying to have a piece of what we believe and still trying to merge what they believe. You can't turn everything Caucasian and then make Yeshua Caucasian, which is ludicrous. I'm not going to go into proving nothing to you. Caucasus Mountains. I know you know. Science proves it. So what we see is the commandments were given to Israel out of this book right here, chapter. And he said, you've got to keep them forever. That's a part, that's a stipulation of what you must do now, because the commandments, Yah has got us covered in these tribulatory times. But if you're not a commandment keeper, there's no fence around you. So let's be clear about that. I'll go into that in a second. Still got about 30 minutes time, because I don't want to go past an hour. Let's go to Jeremiah, the 31st chapter. I'm going to make some of that clear to you. I've preached on Jeremiah 31, 36, all these chapters about what's going to happen, what's going to transpire. But let's go through it again today, so we can break it down, make some things real. And this is a remote prophecy. This is why they tried to call the minor prophets. All of the Tanakh was about these times right now. And they didn't want you to decipher the narrative that they had described, that all of the Christian church was preaching through these commentaries of these Khazars who were free. I'm sorry, of these Edomites who were nothing but Freemasons who wanted to be in with the Amalekites and the Khazars. And the only way they could do it was through the covenant of Freemasonry, making an oath to another god. Being a Freemason is trying to serve two gods. It's the amalgamation and the melting of trying to serve two gods. You cannot serve two gods. When they go to certain levels in Freemasonry, they have to make an allegiance to Satan. They come in believing in the Most High, and then as they upgrade, they get further away from the Most High until they make a complete allegiance to Hashatan. So we got people amongst us calling themselves Hebrews who are Freemasons because they want the power in this world. They want the power and the protection, the legal status. You can't do that. And that means you do not fear Yah. You don't fear Yah. You fear Satan. Let me talk to the people who fear Yah only. Fear is reverence. Fear of Yah is, oh, I'm keeping these commandments because I don't know what the consequences may be if I don't. So let's go through Jeremiah 31 real quick. At the same time, said the Most High, will I be their power, their Yah, their Alua of all the families of Israel. Key point, because you have the northern and southern kingdom. That northern kingdom is a cake unturned. They appear to be some other nations, but only the Most High is going to come and work this out about some of the people who have been blended in, or how the seed has been corrupted because of the war of the seed lines has been going on. But you cannot destroy the seed of the Most High. He knows who is his, and we don't know that. So don't be hurt when you find out that some people that you call friends or cousins are not going because they're not of the seed. But you should know them by the fruits that they bear. He said, of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. So he's got a people. He's not taking everybody, and we're not going to all be together singing Kumbaya. We're tired of that. Verse 2, thus said the Most High, the people which were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness, even Israel. We're going to find grace in the wilderness. When I went to cause him to rest, that means when he's coming, this is a prophecy of him coming to get us and go into rest. Y'all don't need rest. Some of the people I visually just popped up in my head that are saying, they're Israel, you've had it good your whole life. You were not a slave. If there was slavery in your family line, it was indentured servitude, meaning you wanted to labor to get by. But we're talking about forced slavery. Pick this cotton or I'll hang you, and I'm raping your wife tonight, and I'm eating your children and selling them off. You'll never see them again. I'm tired of you trying to incorporate yourself into Deuteronomy 28. You don't fit the curses. Verse 3 of Jeremiah 31. The Most High hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee, Israel, us, with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee, us who want to come back to the commandments, the awakening. Verse 4, again, I will build thee, and thou shalt be built. Listen close, Israel. Stop watching the news and fearing this World War III and thinking all these bombs and things are going to come. No, there's a remnant that's going to be delivered out of all of that. You've just got to keep these commandments and stand. Verse 4 again. O virgin of Israel, thou shalt again be adorned with thy tabrets. One second. This is what's coming. This is prophetic. We're going to be adorned with tabrets. We'll be and shall go forth in the dances of them that make merry. Thou shalt yet plant vines upon the mountains of Samaria. The planters shall plant and shall eat them as common things. For there shall be a day that the watchmen upon the Mount Ephraim shall cry, arise ye and let us go up to Zion unto the Most High our Yah. Verse 7, for thus said the Most High, sing with gladness for Jacob. No, not for Esau, not for Edom, not for Idumea, not for the Amalekites, not for the Khazars, but for Jacob. And who's Jacob? Yaakov, it's Yasharah, it's our people. And shout among the chief of the nations, publish ye, praise ye, and say, the Most High, save thy people. Salvation is for Israel, because we're the ones who need saving. We have no army, we have no money, we have no dollar, we have no country, we have no place to go to. The land of our captivity we're stuck in with no place to go to and be amongst ourselves. And every time we tried it here in America, they bombed us. And it wasn't just Black Wall Street. You need to do your research. There were many places throughout the U.S. that tried to start Black communities and got destroyed because of the fear of you coming back into prominence and the prophecy being fulfilled. People don't want you to ever get connected back to your God. Verse 8, behold, I will bring them from the north country, which is the center of the plain called the earth, and gather them from the coasts of the earth. And with them, the blind and the lame, the woman with child, and her that travaileth with child together, they're going to be pregnant. Israelites coming, there's going to be some of us that have been sick and crippled. We're going to get ready to be healed, but he's going to gather us. What does that mean? if you're blind and you're lame, some people will be in senior citizen homes, hospitals, recovery places, sitting at home getting pregnant during these times. Why are you fearing what's coming upon the earth? Because he's saying, when the time comes, I'm going to gather you, and it's going to be supernatural. The problem is, you don't believe in miracles. You don't believe in supernatural intervention. So you don't really believe in this Bible, because if you read the stories in the Bible, you have all these stories in the Bible that you're supposed to believe in to show that he always came when things got real bad and saved a person or a people. What do you read it for? You don't believe in what happened to the children of Israel coming out of Egypt? You don't believe what happened to Lot? You don't believe what happened with Abraham? You don't believe what happened with Noah and his family? Why are you reading this book then? If you can't understand that these stories are analogies of deliverance just when it's darkest, what is your hope? You've got to know a supernatural redemption is going to take place, and that's what the Tanakh is telling you. We're going to be supernaturally delivered. What do you do in the meantime? You occupy until he comes, and you keep the commandments. I digress. He's going to delay the women that are pregnant, verse 9, and they shall come crying. When the deliverance comes, yeah, you're going to be crying like, I don't believe it. That's why. And with supplications will I lead them, and I will cause them to walk by the rivers of waters in a straight way, wherein they shall not stumble. For I am a father to who? Israel, Yasharallah. And Ephraim is my firstborn. He didn't say I'm a father to these other nations. He mentioned one right here. Verse 10. Hear the word of the Most High, O ye nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, hear the word of the Most High, O ye races, and declare it. Not that it's you, but say, he that scattered Israel will gather him. That's what y'all supposed to be saying. But you're trying to incorporate and say, that's me. No. No, you better notice that there's a people, because he said, he that blesses Israel shall be blessed, and he that curses Israel shall be cursed. And you've been blessing and cursing the wrong people. Those people are converts from the 8th century. They've been nothing but converts. Those people are Europeans. Those people are bloodsuckers. Those people are the children of the Nephilim. He that scattered Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd doth his flock. For the Most High hath redeemed Jacob. Who? Jacob. Who? Jacob. And ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he. Therefore, they shall come and sing in the height of Zion. Jacob's going into the new Zion. And we shall flow together for the goodness of the Most High, for wheat and for wine and for oil and for the young of the flock and of the herd. And their soul shall be as a watered garden. They shall not sorrow anymore. Who's in sorrow? Who's had to lose babies, kids, sickness, be targeted as a people by the medical system? Targeted. Kept down, oppressed, suppressed. That's not you. If you're trying to incorporate your people, you have a high credit score. You were not redlined. You were not bombed. You were given the best of the fruits of America. And you want to make America great again. Verse 14. And I will satiate the soul of the priest with fatness. And my people, see, there's a people, shall be satisfied with my goodness, said the Most High. Thus said the Most High, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rahil, weeping for children, refused to be comforted for her children because they were not. Thus said the Most High, refrain thy voice from weeping and thine eyes from tears, for thy work shall be rewarded. This is the last time he's going to tell us to stop crying, dry your eyes. For those that have put in the work are about to be rewarded for the work. And they shall come again from the land of the enemy. Yes, we're all trapped in these other countries where we have no power, and we're pushed into the southern parts of these countries and hated and given clothing, allotments, given welfare, given food stamps. Go over there and do this. Here's your Section 8. Shut up. Be happy. And let rare ones amongst you get success if they sit at their feet, just to make you chase that same carrot, knowing they'll never let you achieve that. And they let the ones that make it amongst you, they tell them through covenant and contract, you're not allowed to go back into the community and help your people. We'll take care of that. And if you do, we'll take care of you. And they shall come again from the land of their enemy, and there is hope in thine end, said the Most High, that thy children shall come again to their own border. I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself. Thus thou hast chastised me, and I was chastised. As a bullock unaccustomed to the yoke, turn thou me, and I shall be turned, for thou art the Most High, my Yah. We're being chastised right now. We're coming out of it towards the end. He only chastens those he loves. If he didn't love us, he wouldn't spank us until we learned our lesson. Verse 19, surely after that, I was turned and I repented, which is what we're supposed to be getting our minds into, is repentance. You should look at how terrible you were in following the ways of Esau. Edomites, Gentiles, heathens, partying, reveling, going to the clubs, going to the parties, going to the game. All you want to do is do what Babylon does instead of disassociating yourself from Babylon and keeping the commandments and being holy and separating yourself. And after that, verse 19, I was instructed. I smote upon my thigh, and I was ashamed of how I lived and how I lived with these people. Yea, even confounded, because I did bear the reproach of my youth. The shame, how I acted. Do y'all remember how you were taught a certain kind of way because you were indoctrinated in school to be a hoe, a whore, unfaithful, uncommitted, do as thy will, not keep the commandments, to strive for worldly accomplishments? You had no knowledge of what you were put here for and who you were. This is Ephraim saying at the end, we're going to be ashamed of some of the things we've done. I can tell you I'm ashamed every day this early before we're redeemed and put in our land. Every day I'm in repentance or saying, God, thank you for not letting me succumb to the evil I was born into and the wickedness. Thank you for letting me come out of the false education given to me in their school systems, their prisons, school to prison pipeline, in believing all the lies that they were teaching me. Thank you for not letting me get snared in that. Thank you for forgiving me for doing that the world taught me was all right. Let's continue. I do earnestly remember him still. So therefore my bowels are troubled for him. I will surely have mercy upon him, saith the Most High. Ephraim, his dear son. Verse 21, set thee up waymarks. Make thee high heaps, set thine heart toward the highway, even the way which thou wentest. Turn again, O virgin of Israel, turn again to these thy cities. How long will thou go about, O thou backsliding daughter? For the Most High hath created a new thing in the earth, and a woman shall compass a man. Thus said the Most High of hosts, the God of Israel. And yet they shall use this speech in the land of Judah, in the cities thereof, when I shall bring again their captivity. The Most High bless thee, O habitation of justice, mountain of holiness. And there shall dwell in Judah itself and in all the cities thereof together husbandmen, and they that go forth with flocks. I have satiated the weary souls. We're weary. I don't care about you folks now trying to incorporate yourselves, talking about you weary because of the pandemic that happened in 2020 and you lost your job. You ain't been through crap compared to what's been happening to my people, the Most High's people, for the last 400 years. And it's funny, all this started at the end of 400 years. For I have satiated the weary souls, and I have replenished every sorrowful soul. Upon this I awaked and beheld, and my sleep was sweet unto me. Behold, the days come, said the Most High, that I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seed of man and with the seed of beast. And we've seen that transpire. I'm going to skip down, but what I want you to understand is when you're reading the book of Jeremiah 31 and it's talking about remote prophecies, you need to be able to delineate the different time frames of the prophecy and how it goes back and forth into the future, the present, and the things that have transpired. And what I'm reading now is telling you how the seeds were intermingled. because Satan had a plot to try to mingle his seed with the seed of Yah. Verse 28, and it shall come to pass that like as I have watched over them to pluck up and to break down and to throw down and to destroy and to afflict, so will I watch over them to build and to plant, saith the Most High. So he's watching over his seed, even with the mixing of kind, creating these other races that he didn't create, and call yourself a mulatto or whatever. And then I digress. He said, I'm watching over it. He's going to watch over the DNA and the genetics. He has a science that he understands. He brings the Ruach in to regene, transform people, and cause them to be born again. He knows the people that have introduced, you have 72,000 genomes in your mom, 72,000 in your dad, and that makes 144,000 genomes. But when you institute another 72,000 through science and technology called a vax, that turns it into something like 216,000, which is not the 144,000, which is a God number, Yah's number. So he knows them that are not of his, because DNA is a genetic code that is the name of Yah written in it and is the image of Yah all on it. So if that's been altered genetically and manipulated, then it's like, no. There are those that he will heal and deliver, but when it comes down to it, the Most High doesn't discriminate. I digress. So will I watch over them to build and to plant, said the Most High. In those days they shall no more, the fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge, meaning generational curses. No, they won't be that. Talking about, oh, you do that because your daddy used to do it. No. But everyone shall die for his own iniquity. You won't be able to blame your father or your grandfather. No, you're going to pay for what sins that you're in for not keeping the statutes, laws, and commandments and listening to the voice of Yah. So every man that eateth the sour grape, his teeth shall be on edge, because you made a choice to eat it yourself. And you're not going to say it was a genetic. That's what people tell you, is genetics. So you have to watch that message about generational curses and genetics. It's a trick. All right, let me see if I can get through this. Now we go into the new covenant. Behold, the days come, said the Most High, that I will make a new covenant. Yeah, let me go back to that thing with the generational curse. A lot of our people make excuses for what they do based upon that's in my family lineage. So it gives them justification to say, well, that's just what, no. That's a choice you're making. So 31 talks about the new covenant, and this is what a lot of people don't understand. I'm going to give you my take on it. My take on it is going to be exactly what I'm going to read. Behold, the days come, saith the Most High, that I will make a new covenant. This is in Hebrews, the 9th chapter and 10th chapter, with the house of Israel. He said the house of Israel, people. The new covenant has nothing to do with other people. He's making a new covenant, which is a pact, which is a marriage vow to his people, to his bride. It's not to you, you other nations, and it has not been fulfilled yet. He said, I'm doing it with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, and not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they broke. They did it. It was nothing wrong with the covenant. It wasn't faulty. It was good. They broke it. They were, when they came out of Egypt, we were supposed to be a nation of priests and kings then. Then you skip down to the new covenant, and you see in 2 Peter, it says that we are now a nation of priests and kings. Go back to Hebrews 9 and 10. It tells you we're under the order of Melchizedek. And it's not fulfilled. I'm going to show you something real quick. Although I was a husband unto them, the Most High, to Israel and Judah, saith the Most High, but this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, that's where you need to pause. What are those days? We're in those days. Those days have not been completed. Most people preach to you and say the second covenant is in full effect right now. No, it's not. Listen closely. And I don't need to go through a bunch of books and try to give define Yiddish and do stuff that all these other Hebrews do that are just trying to swell you up with their knowledge because they're puffed up. He said, after those days, I will put my law in their inward parts. People believe that's happening now. No, there are people that don't know the law who are Israel and Judah, and it's not inside them. That's why they keep breaking it, because we know 1 John 3 and 4 says that sin is transgressing of the law. They don't know the law. This is why you make them come to your camps and sit down for 3 years so you can indoctrinate them, because you're not converted until you learn these laws. But I thought it was written inside. So how can you preach a doctrine saying everybody knows it, this is applicable to right now? We have, that has not come, because those days have not passed. If you go back to the beginning of Jeremiah 31, you understand that he's prophesying about what's going to happen after those days, after the weeping and crying and gathering. So let me read some more. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it on their hearts. It's not written on all of our hearts yet. And I will be their king, and they shall be my people, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor. Why are you still teaching? Why are you still having camps? Why are you still teaching on the Shabbat YouTube if this has already been fulfilled, the second covenant? It's not fulfilled yet. That's why you're still preaching and teaching. That's why I'm doing this broadcast. People still don't know the law, and they're not keeping the law. Why don't people see this? It bothers me. They shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know Yah, know Yeshua, for they shall all know me. Do all know him now? No. So how are you saying the second covenant is fulfilled? That's what we're walking in. That's why you Edomites don't need to be trying to preach this word. It wasn't given to you, and you don't see it. You're blind in part. The fact of the matter is that when he gathers his people and gathers his remnant, and we go into the millennium reign and the new Jerusalem, everybody in that kingdom will know him. They'll see him. They'll be changed, and the laws will be written in their hearts, because evil will be taken away and eradicated. That is not happening. We still have to teach. Verse 34 said, and they shall teach no more. Why are we still teaching? Every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Most High. From the least of them unto the greatest of them, said the Most High. He said, why? For I will forgive their iniquities. He has not done that yet. We're still living in sin. Many of us, our people are still in sin. People of that are going to be a remnant of Israel still haven't come in yet. He said, I will remember their sin no more. So he's going to cleanse us. Let me get through this. Verse 35. Thus said the Most High, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinance of the moon and of the stars for a light by night. Listen close, Gentile, heathen, Caucasian, Edomites. Listen close to this. The ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divided the sea, when the waves thereof roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances, sun, moon, and stars, depart from before me, saith the Most High, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation. You want us to be every nation. You want to say that we've gone and become all kinds of different colors, different people, now having straight hair, not woolly hair, like our Savior in Revelations, the first chapter in Daniel 9. He said, these people will not cease from being a nation, the one that you confederate against, until all ordinances have passed. I'll read it again. If those ordinances depart from before me, said the Most High, then the seed of Israel also shall cease. If the moon and stars and sun go away, then my children, the seed of Israel, the nation, the people, there are one people. He said they would stop and they wouldn't exist. Thus said the Most High, Alua, if heaven can be measured and the foundations of the earth searched out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel. The seed of Israel is not done. It's not cast away with, because you can't measure the heavens. You can't measure the sea. And until you can do that, Israel will live forever. My nation, my people, my seed, which he's watching over, no matter how much the seed of Satan, the serpent seed, is trying to blend with the seed of Yah and wipe them out through mixed, multi-marriages and marrying outside your race and your nation, and trying to blend the seed of the fallen angels into God's holy seed. What you're trying to do is merge the wheat with the tare. That's why he's going to separate the wheat from the tare when he comes, the angels, and he's going to burn up the tare of the false wheat into the furnace. He knows who his people are. All you need to do is make sure you're keeping the commandments and hope that you make it by faith. Verse 36. Verse 38, behold, the days come, said the Most High, that the city shall be built to the Most High from the tower of Hananiel unto the gate of the corner. And the measuring line shall yet go forth over against it upon the hill of Garab, and shall compass about to Goath, and the whole valley of the dead bodies and of the ashes. This is like the book of Obadiah is right in between there, of how they just got rid of everything and killed everybody who's over there fighting right now, who's not even supposed to be in the land. And the whole plain of the earth shall be purged before Yeshua steps foot on Mount Zion and destroys everything with a word. Second Ezra, the 13th chapter, tells us he's just going to destroy everything through the speaking of the laws, the commandments. Unto the corner of the horse gate toward the east shall be the whole, shall be holy unto the Most High. It shall not be plucked up nor thrown down any more forever. I understand you want to be a part of that. You better try to get in where you fit in. But if you keep trying to say the people don't exist and they're not the people, and now we're all Israelites and replacement theology, and you're making every nation an Israelite who wants to worship the Most High but still keep their culture, which is the dragon, their Chinese New Year, and their Islamic ways, and the American customs, and keep Christmas, and you want to keep Easter, and then some of y'all stop doing it. But the only problem is that some of you Edomites who stop keeping the pagan customs want to eradicate the people. You still hate the real people as a people. You don't want them to be over you. You do not want the Savior HaMashiach to be a black man. And he is. And I'm happy to inform you, not sorry to inform you. Before I close out, and I know I'm moving fast because I didn't want to be on here long, let's look at some of the benefits of keeping the commandments. Write these down. Psalms 19:11. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, in keeping them there is great reward. 1 John 5:2, obey his commandments. Ezekiel 20:11, I gave them my statutes and informed them of my ordinances, by which if a man observes them, he will live. Proverbs 19:16, he who keeps the commandments keeps his soul, but he who is careless of conduct will die. Deuteronomy 4:40. So you shall keep his statutes and his commandments, which I am giving you today, that it may go well with you and with your children after you, and that you may live long on the land which the Lord Most High, your Yah, is giving you for all time. Deuteronomy 6:25. I will be righteousness for us if we are careful to observe all his commandments before Eluah, our Yah, just as he commanded us. Exodus 15:26, and he said, if you will give earnest heed to the voice of Yah and do what is right in his sight and give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases on you, which I have put on the Egyptians, for I am the Most High, your healer. 1 John 5:2, by this we know that we love the children of Yah, when we love Yah and observe his commandments. Exodus 20:6, but showing loving kindness to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. Recurring theme, I'm giving you precepts here. You better get out these churches telling you the law is done away with. Deuteronomy 5:10, but showing loving kindness to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. Psalms 103:18, to those who keep his covenant and remember his precepts to do them. Proverbs 28:7, he who keeps the law is a discerning son. There's your discernment. But he who is a companion of gluttons humiliates his father. Banquets, kicking it. Let's go get something to eat. Come to the party. Come hang out in the world. Nah. Separate yourself. Come out of her, my people. Proverbs 28:4, those who forsake the law praise the wicked. But those who keep the law strive with them. Proverbs 29:18. Where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained, but happy is he who keeps the law. I'll read this last one, Ezekiel 18:19. Yet you say, why should the son not bear the punishment of the father's iniquity? When the son has practiced justice and righteousness and has observed all my statutes and done them, he shall surely live. keep the commandments and live. That's all I want to say to you today. Keep the commandments and live. The commandments are a fence around you. So don't be afraid. Yah's got us. Let's go back to 2 Kings 17. He said, keep them forever. Then we see the benefits in Jeremiah 31, how this is going to play out. And we are precious in his sight. He's thinking about you. He's going to gather you. Don't worry about the debates with these other people that are trying to be us. Even before we came into the awakening and the law, they were trying to be us. Our customs, the way we dress, our culture, our dance, our music. They've always tried to, you know, do cultural sabotage, procreation. Everybody wants to be them people. And that's what this is all about. The heat in the land right now is because everybody wants to be the chosen people. And Satan is saying, I'm God. A lot of people worship Satan as God, and he's got his own chosen people, and they are the ones that you see ruling and having power and money in the earth right now. And those that want to be down with them and that God have made an allegiance through Freemasonry and secret societies to be down with that team. While we who know who the one true power, Alua, is, Most High Yah, Haya, we know who he is, and we know the only way to connect to him is by restraining ourselves, having discipline, not doing what we want to do, but being obedient to him and keeping the laws like the Holy Shabbat. And soon to come, the Feast of Dedication, which is mandated that our Savior kept, which will be coming sometime in December. All right, that's been my time. I'm going to get ready to close out and let you know that the only for sure obstacle to truth is to think you already have it, because truth is a journey and not a destination. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shabbat shalom.